Are you aware of yourself right now? Hold on to that question. Don't answer it cleverly. Don't think about it. Just notice what happened the instant I asked. For a second, something shifted. You were here. We'll come back to that question many times today, because by the end, it's going to be the only thing I actually want you to walk away with. But let me start somewhere that sounds almost too simple to be interesting. Last night, while you were in deep, dreamless sleep, did you know you were asleep?
No, of course not. Nobody does. You can't be lying there in the dark, completely unconscious, and think to yourself, "Ah, here I am, fast asleep, doing a great job of it." That thought is impossible from the inside. The knowing only ever shows up later, when you wake up and go, "Huh, I was out." Hold on to that too, because hiding inside that totally ordinary fact is one of the strangest features of being a conscious being. And once you see it, you genuinely cannot unsee it.
So here's the whole thing in one sentence. When you're not aware of your own existence, you don't know that you're not aware. Think about what that means. There is no alarm. There's no little notification that pops up and says, "Hey, you've drifted off. You've stopped noticing that you exist." The lapse leaves no fingerprints. It covers its own tracks. And this tells us something surprising about awareness itself. We tend to imagine it like a dimmer switch. Like you can be a little bit present, kind of half here, slowly fading up and down through the day. But it doesn't really work like that. It's much more like a light that's either on or off, with the strange twist that when it's off, nobody's home to notice the room went dark. Either you recognize right now, in this exact moment, that you exist, that bare, wordless sense of "I am," or you don't. There's no in-between. And there's no warning system, which means the drifting happens silently, on its own schedule, completely without your permission. That's the asymmetry. Presence announces itself. Absence does not. And almost every difficulty we're going to talk about today falls right out of that one lopsided fact. So, quick check. Are you aware of yourself right now? Still here? Good. Keep going. Now, why am I so confident this is real and not just a nice-sounding idea? Because you've got a working demonstration of it every single night. The sleep thing isn't a metaphor I'm reaching for. It's the cleanest example there is. Asleep, you have zero access to the fact that you're asleep. The recognition is locked out until you wake.
Here's the unsettling part. That exact same structure is running in broad daylight, right now. You can spend hours, days, years in a kind of waking sleep, going through the motions, unaware of your own fundamental existence. And this is the crucial bit, unaware that you're unaware. So the blind spot isn't some bedroom quirk that switches off at sunrise. It's just the default setting of an attention that's wandered off without leaving a note. Let me name the thing we keep drifting away from, so we're not just gesturing at a fog. I'm going to call it the absolute. Bit of a grand word, stay with me, because the thing itself is the opposite of grand. It's the simplest thing there is. The absolute is just unconditional being, awareness that's there without needing anything propping it up. No thought required, no feeling required, no particular circumstance required. It's that quiet, direct recognition of your own existence, the ground floor of reality, sitting underneath all the identities and the storylines we stack on top. It doesn't need proof. It doesn't need reasoning. It doesn't need anyone's approval. It simply is. And here's the kicker. You are it. And I want to be really clear, because this is where people tense up. This is not some exotic mountaintop 20 years of training state. It's not an achievement. It's just what's left when you put down everything you've added, even for a second. In fact, it's what was sitting right there a moment ago when I asked if you were aware of yourself. That was it. That was the whole thing. You've already touched it, loads of times. The hard part was never getting there. The hard part, and this is the whole game, is remembering it exists.
So, how do we usually bump into it? Mostly by accident, if we're honest. You know those moments. Some view cracks you open, and the mental chatter just stops. And for a second, you're simply there. Or you're doing something a little dangerous, a little extreme, and the adrenaline yanks you bolt upright into the present. Even bad news, even a near miss, especially a near miss, can shatter the running commentary in your head and leave you face to face with bare existence. The story drops, and what you are underneath it gets really obvious, really fast. I call these the unexpected doorways, and they're wonderful. But notice the problem. They show up uninvited. You can't schedule a sunset that levels you. You can't book a near-death experience for Tuesday at 3. Relying on them is basically standing around hoping a bolt of lightning will swing by and light up your house. Beautiful when it happens. Terrible as a long-term lighting plan. So the natural question, why don't we just stay? If it's that simple, that close, that always available, why does it keep slipping away?
And the answer is almost embarrassingly mundane. It's not a curse. It's not a flaw in you specifically. It's just traffic. Your attention points outward all day, toward tasks, toward worries, toward your phone, toward other people, toward this endless parade of thoughts and sensations marching through. And I want to say clearly, that's not the villain of this story. Pointing outward is good. You're supposed to engage with the world. A life turned permanently inward, navel-gazing forever, wouldn't be some enlightened paradise. It'd just be a life you forgot to live. The trouble starts the moment we forget to come back. When that outward flow gets so habitual, so automatic, that we lose contact with the source entirely. And under the sheer fire hose of modern life, the notifications, the noise, all of it competing for you, something quietly drops out. We forget there's anywhere to return to. It's like a river that forgot it has a source, just pouring outward endlessly, somehow always running low, and never quite understanding why we feel so empty. And by the way, are you aware of yourself right now? Or did you slip off somewhere into the words? No judgment. That's exactly the point. Come back. Here's where it gets a little eerie. Because when you forget the absolute while you're awake, the state you drop into is weirdly close to dreaming. Think about what a dream actually is. You're inside it, and you completely buy it. You accept the whole storyline as reality, and you totally forget that you have a waking self somewhere outside of it. Waking life can do the exact same trick. We get so absorbed in our personal story, the roles, the problems, the wants, the running drama of me, that we lose the simple I am sitting underneath the whole production. the story just plays, and we treat it like it's the entire universe.
And now the asymmetry tightens its grip. Remember, you cannot catch yourself in the act of forgetting. By the time you'd notice, the forgetting already happened. It's always already done.
So you can run entire days on autopilot, making decisions, holding full conversations, even feeling pretty sure you're wide awake and totally present the whole time, while the deepest recognition of your own existence is just dormant. Lights on, no one checking whether anyone's home. And then, every so often, there's this little jolt of waking, and you get that slightly vertigo-inducing thought. Wait, where have I been?
And here's the part that explains so much of modern life. When that connection goes quiet, we try to patch the hole from the outside. We chase validation. We chase stuff. We chase stimulation. Anything, anything to quiet that faint little hum that says something essential is missing. But, and I love this image, it's like trying to cure thirst by painting pictures of water. You can get really good at it. Beautiful paintings. Doesn't matter. The thing you're actually thirsty for only ever comes from reconnecting with what you already are at the source. Now I want to talk about the sneakiest danger of the whole thing. And it's a little spicy because it goes after the good guys. Some activities look like they're leading you toward consciousness, while they're very politely walking you the other way. And here's the uncomfortable one. Spiritual practice itself can do this. The second it latches onto concepts instead of direct recognition, it can become a gorgeous, elaborate distraction. The deep study of sacred texts, the intricate belief systems, the philosophy, the beautiful rituals.
Now, I'm not anti any of that. Relax. But here's the test. Unless the one job of all that machinery is to walk your awareness back to the immediate recognition that you exist, it can quietly carry you off, just like everything else. And here's why it's so dangerous, why it's more dangerous than getting lost in your phone. Because it feels like progress. You can spend decades stacking up spiritual knowledge, mastering techniques, teaching other people, building a whole identity around the path, while the plain, dead simple recognition of I am stays exactly as far away as the day you started. And of course, the asymmetry makes sure you don't notice the switch. Say it with me. When you're not aware, you don't know that you're not aware. Even the most sophisticated, advanced, impressive-looking path can still be a path away. So let me ask you again, because it cuts straight through all of it. Are you aware of yourself right now? Not the idea of it, the actual bare fact of it. There. Okay. Breath. Here's the key move, and it's counterintuitive. We're not going to try to get better at noticing when we drift. We can't. The asymmetry flat out forbids it, remember? That door is locked. So the answer was never better detection. The answer is regular, deliberate return. Since we can't trust ourselves to catch the lapse, we just build the coming back into the day, on purpose, like brushing your teeth. And the tool is almost insultingly simple. It's one question, asked again and again and again. And you already know it. You've been answering a few times now. Are you aware of yourself right now?
That's it. That's the entire practice.
Everything else today was just me convincing you to take that one question seriously. And listen, it is not a riddle. You're not supposed to solve it. You're not supposed to sit there and think really hard about it. That's the trap again, sneaking back in. It's a pointer. It just points your attention straight at the recognition that's already here. The question slices clean through whatever story's got you, and it opens this tiny gap. And in that gap, if you don't immediately stuff it full of the next thought, the recognition of your existence can just dawn. Not as an idea you've worked out, as an undeniable knowing.
And here's the thing that actually makes it work: frequency. Because you will drift, and you won't know it, you need a lot of these little openings scattered through your day. So stack the deck. Set reminders on your phone. Hang the question on ordinary stuff you already do. Every doorway you walk through, make it an invitation. Are you aware of yourself right now? You're not trying to win. You're just trying to come back more often. So what actually happens over time? Let me leave you with this, because it's the gentlest part of the whole thing. The goal is not to stop drifting. You can't. The asymmetry won't let you. And honestly, trying to never drift again just hands your busy mind one more anxious project to run. Skip it. What actually changes is the rhythm, the coming back. Because as you repeat these little moments of recognition, they start to stretch out on their own. You don't force it. The gaps between them just get shorter. Not because you finally stopped wandering, but because you got into the habit of turning around. And little by little, the recognition stops feeling like a trip to some far-off place you have to reach. It starts to feel like noticing something that was here the entire time. Sitting quietly, waiting, very patiently, for you to turn around. Because here's the truth: the whole time we've been circling, the light was never gone. You were just away. So I'm not going to send you off with a summary. I'm going to send you off with the only thing that matters: the question. Carry it with you. Drop it into a traffic jam, a meeting, the middle of an argument, a quiet morning. Ask it more often than feels reasonable. Are you aware of yourself right now?
And once it becomes natural to ask it of yourself, try turning it gently outward. Look at the people you pass today, the ones you talk to, sit beside, love. Are they aware of themselves in this moment? And if not, when was the last time they were? You'll start to notice how rare it actually is, how few of those moments are happening anywhere around you at all. And right there, the thing you're holding stops feeling ordinary. You realize how exclusive this moment is, how priceless. You're awake right now, and almost no one is. Good. That's home.